There's no place like home on Lake Garbone, and nobody knows this better than Union Parish native Joe Booth with Booth Realty. Joe has been serving real estate clients in North Louisiana since 1998 and will work tirelessly to help you buy or sell your property. Trust me, I can't tell you how many fishing trips I've been on with Joe where, when the phone rings, the fishing stops. He's also lived on Lake Garbone for 23 years and will put you in the best place to meet your needs around the lake. Call him today at 318-548-3185 and let Joe Booth guide you home. Tonight we have two of the best young fishermen that I've ever personally known, and it's a solid podcast. Hagen Carter's family allowed me to have dinner with them the other night, and I really got to sit down and spend some time with Hagen and also Gage Struben. North Louisiana, trust me, these are two names that you'll be hearing for a long time in the bass fishing world. I hope you guys enjoy. Folks, if you'd have told me in January the 1st of this year that I'd be doing a fishing podcast, especially the one we're doing today, I'd have told you you were crazy. This format of this podcast has been, you know, since the inception, has been about hunting. And here we are talking about fishing. Not only just fishing, we're talking about high school fishing. I got introduced to these two at the Arkla Team Trail. And I'll be honest with you guys, when I first saw you, I thought, okay, they're just some guys, some young guys. They just out here just seeing how they could do. I was quickly proven wrong. So tell us who you are real quick.
I'm Gage Struben. I fish for West Ouachita, and I'm 18. And my parents are Tina and Chess Struben.
Over from Calhoun?
From Luna, really, West Monroe area.
Okay. I know where Luna's at.
Yes, sir.
What about you, Cuz?
I'm Hagen Carter. I'm from West Monroe. Go to West Ouachita, and I fish for their fishing team. And my mom and dad are Annie Carter and Chad Carter.
Well, let me tell you something, man. Coming in to watching you guys at the Arkla Trail, and then, of course, I'm like, who in the world are these guys? And I look at you on social media. You pretty well kind of have that fishing thing, right? You feel like you got it down pretty good or getting better?
We're trying to learn, really, just build on what we already know.
Well, folks, when I tell you, when we go through this podcast, you're going to see it. I feel like they got a little bit more than feeling on it a little bit. I mean, cuz. So I asked you guys to think of three things that really stand out in your fishing career. And Gage, we're going to start with you.
All right.
Tell me the first one.
So the thing that I remember the most would be, we had a nationals in, I think, Ohio. Was it right?
Yeah.
And we fished 3 days of practice, didn't catch a fish. I think we only had like two bites. And we just heading back in, and we're just idling in, and we found like a ledge that had some grass on it. So we just marked it, and we're like, we'll just hit it tomorrow. It's really the only thing we got that we even saw anything on. So first day of tournament, we were just fishing and didn't get any bites where we wanted to start. So we went back to that, and we just instantly got bit as soon as we pulled up. So we were like, well, we don't have anything else, so we might as well fish it. And we ended up finishing the whole tournament off of that one spot, sitting there the whole time. And we could see the boat ramp. It was that close. And we ended up getting second with that one and barely got beat by first.
And this nationals, is that one of yours as well?
Yeah, we was together, and we was leading by like 7 pounds throughout the first and second day. We was leaving out first boat, and then on the last day they zeroed our weights and we lost by a pound.
So let me ask you this. I want to break down real quick. Tell our listeners, how does the Louisiana high school fishing, how does that operate?
So pretty much there's three divisions that I know of. There's one for like North Louisiana, and then there's one in Shreveport, and there's one down south. And that's, I'm pretty sure that's pretty much how it is for all the states. And then certain number of people qualify from each area. And then we all go to nationals and then fish against each other for scholarship.
And that nationals, I mean, that's nationwide. That ain't just called nationals for a reason. That's nationwide.
Yeah, there's even people that fish it. We've met some from Canada. I think there was some from like Brazil or something. They're from everywhere.
And you guys finished where?
Where did we finish?
28th, I think.
We got 28th 1 year. And then before we started fishing together, I fished one and got like 18th or something.
That's impressive, man. I mean, all over the country, we got some guys right here that's very, very, very good against the best in the nation.
Our best finish was Ohio, definitely, yeah. On Mosquito Lake.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
It was a grind. We fished the same spot for 3 days straight. We sat down about lunchtime. We never moved. We was fishing a grass line on the edge. There was some brim beds, and fishes kept pulling up and moving back out. We'd catch three or four, and then it'd be 2 hours before we got another bite, and then they just keep moving in and moving out.
How does it – I mean, because I can see, like, grown men going out there and fishing these tournaments 8 hours a day. I talked with Chris Patton. He said it's not fun. It's rough. It's hard. How do you guys – I mean, is it – do y'all find it that hard?
It's tough on you. Like, I mean, I love it, but – it's definitely tough on your body fishing that, especially during the summertime when it's 100 degrees and you're out there for that long.
Man. And you guys, how long y'all been doing like that style fishing? Didn't you say earlier you were in the seventh grade doing this?
That Nationals, I fished in Alabama and I think it was 18th or something. I was in seventh grade then, so I've been doing it since seventh grade and now we're seniors.
Go ahead.
We've been fishing. After that year, we fished together through the whole high school, and it's our last year. We got to give it all we got for the last one.
Now, last year, you guys were Angler of the Year in what?
In our
trail.
Yeah.
Okay. And the North Louisiana trail?
Yes, sir.
How did y'all do in, like, the statewide?
I think we qualified. We, like, triple qualified for nationals. We qualified three different times.
Mm-hmm. We got what? Was it fourth we got in state? Hold me to it. We got fourth on the Red River, and we qualified. That was our triple.
So, for the high school around here, where all would y'all go to fish?
We really just fish local lakes for our region and, like, our trail. But for state, we've been to the Red River, Cross Lake. I mean, we don't really ever go down south for state, but we go for Louisiana, kind of all over the north part.
How often do y'all do these tournaments?
For the high school, I mean, I think we normally have like five or six season tournaments, and then, of course, state, and then we have nationals every summer. And then we do fish a lot of just other stuff, too.
So we're going to get into that other stuff here in just a minute, because that's something that, like I said before, when I saw y'all, I was like, you know, just because when Dale got me in, the way he hooked me and said, Greg, will you come and be a part of this, was he's like, man, this is the best of the best. I said, what do you mean the best of the best? He says, it's the best of the best in this area. He said, some of these guys could go fish Toyota Series more. And see, I saw you guys and Landon and Hayden.
Hayden.
Hayden. And I'm like, okay, so these guys just trying it out. I mean, crap, y'all got second, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's.
No, we got third.
Third?
We got third.
Yeah. And then you go out there.
We got sixth.
Yeah, sixth. And that's at the Arkla Trail.
Mm-hmm.
But then you guys also fish media. And, I mean, you walked out there yesterday and got second.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, y'all have done pretty well in media, too, haven't you?
We fished one media together. We fished the first one on Caney, and we just could never put anything together for that one. And then I fished the singles on Claiborne, and I got seventh in it. But I just couldn't get another bigger bite. I had a 451 and then a bunch of little ones to go with it.
What's the second thing that you, when I ask you to find three things, what was your second one?
I would say Wisconsin. Wisconsin's probably one of my favorite places to go. And we actually get to go back this summer and fish our last national championship up there.
Really? Do you remember what part of Wisconsin?
La Crosse.
Oh, yeah. So tell me about that experience.
It is something like you've never seen. I mean, me personally, nobody around here has seen it really. And it's just fun. Throw a frog all day. You can catch smallmouth. You can catch anything on it all day long. But you can go down a stretch of rocks, a 100-yard stretch, and catch 50 fish. And they might be 12 inches. And then the next catch, you'll catch a 3.5-pound smallmouth or something like that.
Yeah.
It's definitely a special place.
Really? And how many teams are going to be up there? Do y'all know?
Last year on Pickwick, there was 400 teams. It's a lot of teams for nationals.
And y'all finished where?
Last year, we didn't do too hot, but the year before, we were in Wisconsin, actually, and I want to say we finished in top 50 or something, and the first day, we didn't do too great, And then we ended up getting a comeback team. We jumped like 70 spots from day one to day two.
72 spots.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
We found this fish. It was in a current break. And then we fished them. And they were all little. And we just couldn't figure them out because they all moved. Because we was catching solid fish there. And then we just had to change it up. We went to a different lock. We ain't never fished down there the next day. And we just got on. We pulled up. I made a cast on some rocks with a buzz bait and caught a 3-pound smallmouth. Gage flips in there next cast. We had one in the net, and he sets the hook. And Gage's dad still had the net in his hand with my fish. Dips up another 3.5-pound smallmouth, and we keep going. And we get down the bank. It was the worst-looking water you could think of. It was dead fish floating everywhere. You never would have thought there'd be anything living in it. And we get there, and it was just hard, just tough fishing. You'd get one bite every quarter mile you fished. And he flips in between this one stump. We had qualifying fish on, and it was just the way his bait was. It fell inside the stump. He looks like a 5-pounder. Comes up, we're trying to get it, and he just pulls off. And we go down a little bit further and catch another 3-pounder. I think we had like heavy 9 pounds with three fish.
Yeah, because
three-fish tournament.
Nationals are always a three-fish limit. They do it to keep the numbers of, like, the fish that die because, I mean, it's summertime, so they're going to die.
Yeah,
so they do it that way. Good.
So three-fish, and man, that's oof, on them.
It was fun.
What about you? What's your second?
Probably the Red River. That was last year. Yeah, that was a fun tournament. We didn't win, but we caught so many fish. It was ridiculous.
So what time of the year were y'all at Red River?
It was either March or April. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was in April.
And how is the river during, is it up during that time? Or?
Most of the time it is.
Yeah, and how's the water clarity?
Most of it's like chocolate milk. It's dirty. I mean, you have to get way back in somewhere to find clean water.
Yeah, so what made that one pretty special for you?
We really just had one area that held a really big concentration of fish for some reason. I don't know why they were in there, but they were.
It was just like we went in there during practice, and it was, I wouldn't say thousands, but it was definitely hundreds of them, like just in one probably 80-foot wide pocket. Mm-hmm. Just tons of them in there.
So how do you I know how some of my friends who are pro crappie fishermen, I know how they go into their mindset when they go to a new body of water. Okay, I'm looking here, I'm looking here, I'm looking here. How do you guys break down where you're going to start?
It really, like, the way I'll do it is if I'm going off somewhere I've never been, I'll start with watching YouTube videos on that time of year in that lake. And then I'll go read contour maps, if they even have one. There's some lakes we go to don't even have a contour map. And then we'll just kind of go off of that and figure out where we want to start and kind of just start breaking it down.
Mm-hmm. In 2023, time is a valuable thing, and nobody knows this better than the guys at Ludwig Marine. Mitch Ludwig came from working 10 years as a millwright on a swing shift schedule to being a small business owner, and he fully understands how precious time can be for today's fishermen. Dealing in Ranger, Triton, War Eagle, Mercury, Yamaha, Tahatsu, Honda, Gator Tail, Copperhead, and now Reaper Boats. For all your boating needs, call Ludwig Marine at 318-545-5595 or go see them at either of their two locations, 110 Old Highway 15 in Farmerville or on U.S. Highway 165 South in Monroe. What about you, same way?
Same way, but I got another tournament experience that I thought was pretty funny and pretty good. So we was at Toledo Bend for state championship. I think it was our 7th grade year. We was young. And we pulled in this pocket, and the temperature dropped. I think it was like 28 degrees that morning or something. It was freezing. And we was catching these fish in here, and there was like 20 boats around us, and we was within casting distance of every boat. And there was this ditch that ran through the middle of it, and we had a live scope. It was when they first came out. And these fish, they moved out from shallow, and they was probably in just a little ditch, probably 3 foot wide or something. And they was sitting right in the ditch, and you'd pitch in there and just have to let it sit on them. And you'd catch almost everyone you thought. And we were just sitting there. Nobody was catching them. We was picking them off one by one. Everybody was just staring at us.
Yeah, I mean, we were sitting there. There was legit probably 20 boats in there. And we were just sitting out in the middle. Everybody's beating the banks because we were started off doing that. And then I just went to go around somebody or jump across. I don't remember. And I saw it, and I saw a fish sitting in it. So I pitched a wacky rig over there, and I was like, well, I didn't know much about LiveScope then because we just got it. And I saw it sink down to him, and he ate it, and I was like, there might be more in here. So we started following that ditch, and that's where we caught all of them, and nobody really did anything in there, but I guess with that cold weather, it just pulled them out.
Mm. Wow.
That was our first – I think that was our first, like, pretty decent win we got as a young kids, and then we started moving on to nationals. That's what we qualified for nationals at that tournament.
Really?
We won the junior anglers then because we were young enough to still fish that, and I think we got – it was somewhere in the top 10 for the high school league.
Yeah.
Because they have a junior series, like a junior league and then a regular high school.
Okay. Because, see, and that was in my next question because I saw that and I didn't know how that would work. So the junior series is for what?
I think you can start fishing the juniors in sixth grade now. Because when we first started, you could fish from seventh grade, but you had to have a high school partner. Now you can fish the juniors in sixth grade and still fish with somebody in your grade and just fish until you get into high school and then move up. But you can still fish, I think it's your freshman year until you get to a certain age, you can fish juniors and high school. And that's what we did for as long as we could.
Mm-hmm.
See, they changed it, I think, like when we was growing up, or not growing up, but when we was fishing it, we was able to fish it until we got into high school, so we could still fish in eighth grade. Now, I think you have to be like 13 or something like that. You can't be over 13.
Yeah. Do you guys ever get to mentor and talk to any of the younger fishermen and kind of, you know, coach them up a little bit?
We do. We take out our little cousins and stuff, and then there's this one kid that fishes the high school trail with me. He's going to be really good. Like, he fishes the juniors. I don't remember how old he is, but he's going to be something.
Yeah. Well, go on and tell his name now so you can be cresking him.
Well, his name is Zeb Eats.
Oh, I know Zeb over at Spearsville. He won second and third place in the Union Parish Buck contest the other day.
He did. He's going to be a hammer.
Really? I didn't know he could fish.
Mm-hmm.
And gums. Yeah, big buck killing, big bass catching. So let's move on a little bit. Okay. No. We got to do number three. Then you got my two. What's your third?
Probably my biggest fish, really. Because we were fishing on Caney one day, and it was all pre-spawn stuff. It was when the grass first got back in there. And we were just going down the bank. It was kind of slow. We had only caught like three fish, and it was almost 3 o'clock, and we got out there at daylight. And then I was kind of getting to the point where I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. Like, this is just a bad day. And I think we're fishing our last spot, and I was throwing a trap, and I threw up there, and thought I was hung in some grass, and I started pulling on it. And I started pulling on it, like trying to break it off because I thought I was hung up. And then I felt it start running, and it come up, and my biggest fish at that time was only like 7 pounds. And then we got it in, and it ended up being like a 964. And it was big.
And how old were you when that happened?
Probably 15.
Okay. And you caught a big one the other day.
Yeah. I've yet to break that 9, but I've come real close.
Yeah. What's your third?
Me and him almost have the same story. I mean, it's just a slow day of fishing. We're catching a couple. Ain't nothing real big. And then we almost caught them almost in the same spot, just probably 50 yards down the bank from each other.
So your big fish was the same day he got his?
No.
It was like a year after.
Oh,
a year
later. It was like almost to the date a year after or something like that.
And how big was it?
Mine was 989.
Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, I got a friend of mine who fishes. He's towards Toledo Bend. And he caught him another big one the other day, and he said the 10-pounder still eludes me. And he's holding up, it's like 9-something. I mean, he's caught a pile of them, and that 10-pound is something.
Me and him both have. We'll get all over it all the time. We've been fishing together, catch 2 9-pounders within 10 minutes of each other, and we just cannot catch one every 10 pounds.
Yeah.
We got a lake at the house, and I've caught one that's 11 out of it, but I don't count that because it was a private lake. But we've been all over it all the time.
So this year... Is this your first year to fish the major tournaments in these areas, Media, Arkla, that kind of stuff?
I fished Arkla last year, but this is really my first year to fish Media too. And we didn't do too terrible in Arkla last year. I think we got a top 10, and then we qualified for the championship, which I know this year you don't have to qualify. Everybody goes. But we got the very last spot last year to go to the championship.
Then there's you and Hayden.
That was me and my last partner, Blake.
Okay. Okay. So let me ask you, and this is something that I thought, you know, when I was getting ready to come over here, and you can answer it however you want to, because keep in mind, I can edit anything you want me to. You guys ever think that, well, before you started kind of making a showing in these terms, when you first started coming in, you think some of these other anglers kind of overlooked you guys, kind of like I did because of how young y'all are?
Some of them probably did, but a lot of them know us from the high school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know what they thought when we started fishing it. Like, I didn't really think we were going to do very good.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, these dudes have been fishing longer than we've been born.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess we're just going to see where it goes from here.
I'm telling you, because I talked to one of them yesterday, because I told him I was going to come over here. It's Chris Patton. And I told him I was going to, before we made the change to come here. And I told him I was going to have you on here. And he said, man, that's going to be great. And he said, those guys can get it. And that's big coming from CP.
He's good. I mean, we always talk about him going to fish Darvon and Claiborne and stuff like that. Well, we got to worry about Chris. He's real good.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're, you guys, do you feel confident now that you kind of got your whistles wet a little bit in these bigger tournaments? You feel pretty good about them?
I feel better, but you still got to stay humble because any of these dudes can beat you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing about fishing with all these tournaments. I mean, you never know who's going to win. I mean, high school tournaments, you got a bunch of kids that you get to the first five or six tournaments or couple of tournaments of the year, and then everybody starts to step up, and that's who you have to worry about.
Yeah.
But these tournaments, everybody's so good, you never know who's going to win.
You know, it's like you were saying, no, it was you. Which one? No, it was you yesterday. You went to practice, and then
I got my teeth kicked in on Chico. I mean, I've never seen it. I put my boat in the water, and that was the first time I've ever seen it. And they had a club tournament yesterday, and I think I had like 7 bites for like 14 pounds, and they raped them over there. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I the only thing I know of Chico is I work with people. See, I work in South Arkansas, so I know a lot of people that go over there. But they're crappie and catfish, this, that, and the other. But, you know, they say there's some good fish over there, good bass.
There is. Connor Nimrod, the one he won on it last year, I mean, he had like 11, I think, as his big bass and had like 20-something pounds.
Yeah.
So there's big ones in there, but I don't know how it's going to play for this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't – you know, it turned off cold today. I don't know what the rest of the week's going to hold.
It's supposed to be real cold this week.
Yeah, some high 30 days. So I don't know what that's going to do to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we still got, what, 2 weeks till it comes in? So maybe it'll warm up a little bit.
As long as that week before warms up, I think it'll be a good tournament.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this weekend, and I didn't know that till today, big event going on Lake Darvon for high school fishing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got the state over there, so my fish yesterday, just the media, just jumped in it because I was going to be out there practicing, and I think we found something that might play.
Yeah.
It just also depends on the weather.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll see.
Now, when you say state, is this like the entire state, or is this just, what is this?
The entire state. There's probably going to be, how many do you think?
Normally, there's like 150 boats.
Wow.
That's going to be a lot for Darvon.
That's South Louisiana, that's North Louisiana.
And it's this middle of crappie spawn. There's going to be a lot of activity on Darvon this weekend.
Yep.
I heard there was yesterday, though.
There was a good bit of boats out there, too.
Yeah, it was. I heard a lot. I saw a lot of activity on Facebook talking about how many boats were out there. So other than this right here, you know, this high school stuff and fishing in Arkland, what's next for you guys after you graduate? What's the plan?
I think I'm going to go fish the BFLs and maybe Toyota Series, and because that's been my dream since I was little to go pro. And I've always thought about fishing college, but I just, be honest, I don't like school as it is. And I know several people that have made it through BFLs and Toyotas. So that's pretty much my plan after I graduate, is to go fish those and try to make it where I want to go.
Yeah. What about you?
That has always been our dream. We've been best friends since we could remember. And we've always wanted to fish together and be pro together and just fish college and see where it goes from there. But I think we're going to do the same thing, go fish BFLs and stuff like that, and just see where it takes us and what we can do.
Well, you know, you got to have some sponsors. Go ahead and name the ones you got now.
Well, we got quite a few sponsors, and we really appreciate all of them. Hook Outdoors, EK's Marine, Kistler Rods, and stuff like that.
Yeah, Hook, they've been with us. That's probably our most loyal sponsor, I guess you could say. because they've been with us before we even started doing good, and he stuck with us.
Yeah, I talked with Chris the other day at Simmons, and you know, I told him, I said, man, I really want to sit down and talk with him. He said, man, they're going to be something. He said, them two right there going to be something. So you definitely not only got his support from a business aspect, I mean, he believes in y'all. Trust me.
He's a good guy, and they have a great family, and we wouldn't. They've been great to us.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got any more you want to name? What about, you should name their Kistler rods, didn't you?
Kistler rods, basket boats, power pole, another good one.
Mercury.
Yep, Mercury.
If you want to get in on some winners, here they are. Just get in touch with them. They'll gladly put you on their jersey.
Yes, sir, we will.
All over the boat, on a hat, wherever.
Yes, sir.
Well, guys, look, man. Oh, also, now, when I get off here, I'm going to score a 6-point. Yeah. One of the biggest, you say one of the biggest in the state.
No, I don't know. Maybe for youth, I'm not sure. I haven't looked at it in a long time. I know it used to be one of the biggest ones, probably.
But you guys like to deer hunt, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Any particular place y'all like to go? I know you hunt. One of y'all hunts in Calhoun.
We used to hunt in Arkansas, and then I got big into duck hunting, real big.
Yeah,
and I travel and go duck hunting everywhere. Oh yeah. But
we hunt in Oklahoma. We have a big lease up there, and we do guided hunts. And we also have a lease in Arkansas that we've been in since before I was born. My dad and all of them have. And our biggest one in Oklahoma last year was killed was a 179. And I let an 8-point go that I was bow hunting because I already killed my rifle tag. And you can only have one rifle tag a year up there. And I was bow hunting, and he came out plenty close enough for me to shoot the first day. And I just let him go because with the land we have, it has to be a 5.5-year old or older to kill. And I wasn't real sure on it, so I just let it go. And I saw him 3 more times that week, but it was way too far to shoot. And this year, before we kind of just left, and then we'll come back, of course, summertime, start getting ready. He was still there. We saw him on the way out from duck hunting up there. And he's big. I don't really want to give an exact because I don't know, but he'll be the biggest deer I've ever killed. And my biggest one, I think's 140-something.
Yeah.
And he's an 8-point.
Man, I tell you, Oklahoma's a good place, man.
It is.
That's one of those places that, you know, a lot of people look at the other states, you know, Kansas, Ohio, Iowa, whatnot like that, but Oklahoma.
That's what Arkansas had me hooked. I mean, deer walk around there like flies. Like it's like they were pets.
We scored one the other day at Simmons. It was a 200-inch public land deer from Arkansas. And I mean, he is a stud. Antlers as dark as his chair. And I mean, and the guy, I saw him the day before. He was walking and he stopped to adjust his gun on his sling. And had he not stopped, deer would probably let him walk on by. But he's sitting there messing with his gun. All of a sudden, deer jumps up and takes off. So he goes in there the next day and kills him.
That's wild.
I'm telling you, man, it's crazy. Well, guys, thank y'all for taking time. I really am looking forward to seeing you guys perform this year. I'm going to be watching you this year and probably for the rest of y'all's career because y'all got something special.
We're ready for it.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you
having
us on here, and thank y'all for everything y'all do in the arc of the team and high school and just see where it goes.
That's right. All right, gentlemen. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Two really good young men who have the world by the tail. Humble yet hungry. That's the best way to describe these two. Head on over to the Antlers and Hicks Facebook page. Check out the new hats we've got in stock, plus some new shirts that we've got. My name is Greg Hicks. This is the Antlers and Hicks podcast. And as always, I'm going to encourage you guys to live your life past 20 yards. We'll see you next time.